Could I welcome you all on behalf of the Mission Board of the Free Presbyterian Church to Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church for this service of sending forth of our brother Mr. Kyle Graham, a member with us for many years in our congregation, and we trust the Lord will bless both Kyle and Epi and Abiah, and as they go forth we're glad that we read in Scripture that the Good Shepherd says, when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And we trust the Lord will make those crooked places straight, and the Lord will undertake for Wednesday in the will of the Lord as they say their farewells, and we pray for grace for both sides of the family. Just before we turn to the opening praise, which is Psalm number 96 on your order of service, there are some apologies I would like to make. The Reverend Gordon Ferguson would love to be here, speaks very, very highly of all the students, by the way, and our brother Kyle in particular. He is not well at present, and he sends his best wishes to both Kyle, Epi, and the family. The Reverend Craig Dennison, a minister over in Gardenstown, unable to attend, has sent also his best wishes, and we trust that God will richly bless the service tonight. We do have some folks tuning in by live broadcast, and some folks in Australia. It wouldn't be the same time as us. It's about 4 or 4:30 in the morning, so we can't say good evening to them, but good morning. And we trust as you're tuning in, you're listening, that God would richly bless you as well and all who are here. Let's turn, please, in our order of service to the Psalm 96. We'll stand together as we sing. You may be seated. Our brother Kyle has served the Lord in various departments. He was assistant to the Reverend Samuel Murray for the past year or so in Tandragee, and there's no doubt the Lord gave God's servant favour before the congregation. And we also are delighted to have his father-in-law, the Reverend William McDermott, as well. We're going to ask the Reverend Murray and the Reverend McDermott to come. One's going to open in prayer, and the other's going to read from God's Word.
Thank you very much indeed, Reverend Martin. Just before we bow in prayer, there's something that I would like to say. Now, I know that this involves me deviating from the order of service. However, I have cleared this with the moderator of the meeting, the Reverend Martin, and I've asked for his permission to say a few words, and I believe that's appropriate that I asked for that permission before I would say anything, and he kindly granted it. So I would just like to say, before we pray, that on behalf of Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church, I'd like to thank Mr. Graham for all that he did in the service of Christ in our congregation. He has been with us for just over a year and a half. During his final year in Bible College, he was with us for a day a week. After he successfully completed his studies, he then spent 2 days per week with us. I would just like to say to the congregation tonight that we truly respect Mr. Graham for all that he did. He proved himself to be a young man with wisdom, with grace, a young man that we could depend upon, that we could trust, who could go in and out of people's homes without carrying a story from one house to another. He knew how to conduct himself, and he did it all to the glory of God. I told the congregation yesterday morning that I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss the Q&A sessions around our breakfast bar. It used to be some fun, because Mr. Graham has an inquisitive mind. He wants to learn. And that is quite an asset when he wants to learn. And he would have asked question after question after question. Sometimes I could answer. Sometimes I bluffed. Sometimes I said, you'll have to leave that one with me. They were deep questions, all to do with pastoral work. He has a pastor's heart. He loves the Lord. And he worked in our church in a manner that's a credit to him. And I trust that God will bless him. And we in Tandragee wish him God's richest blessing. I'd like to thank the Reverend Martin for allowing me a little bit of time to say those things tonight. Now we'll pray. We need the Lord. We'll pray for God's blessing tonight. Father in heaven, our hearts are so glad that we can enter thy presence in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that he loved us and he gave himself for us. We praise thy holy name tonight that he died an atoning death and shed his precious blood for the remission of our sins. Lord, we praise thee for this. We thank thee for the many in this meeting who can say they're under the blood, and their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life, and their sins will not be remembered against them, because they have been pardoned, they have been forgiven, and justified. They're now in Christ. Lord, I thank thee for this. How glad we are that we have the Bible tonight, God's inspired word, to lead us and guide us into all truth. Thou hast been so good to us, Lord. Thy mercy, it endures forever. And many of us have partaken of the grace and mercy of God. We are not worthy of the least of thy tender mercies. And that's why we're so thankful tonight that thou hast redeemed us from the curse of the law. And Lord, as we come to thee, we want the Saviour to have all the glory tonight. We pray that he will increase and we will decrease. We pray for thy servant, Mr. Graham. Lord, we humbly thank thee for thy salvation in his life, for his experience of the amazing grace of God. Lord, we praise thy holy name that thou didst not only save him, but thou didst call him into thy work. We thank thee, Lord, for the gifts and the talents thou hast given him to do the work of the Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that accompanying these things thou hast given him humility and a love for thee and a love for people. Gracious Father, we pray that thou wilt richly bless him tonight. We pray for his wife, Epi. We pray for his little one, Abiah. That thou, Lord, will put thy loving arms round the three of them tonight. That there'll be words in season for them. Not just a word, but words in season. Lord, during the course of this meeting, may their hearts be blessed as the Lord speaks to them. And loving Father, we remember all in their two families. Many here tonight, Lord. And we pray for each and every one of them. Bless them and speak to them. Lord, as they prepare to say their farewell to those that they love, give them abundant grace. Give them thy peace too. Lord, we all rejoice that thy servants are going to Australia to do the work of the Lord. They're not going there to waste their life. They're not going there, Lord, for earthly gain. They're going there in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Lord, because the cause is so good, it's the Lord's cause, we do rejoice. And we pray, Lord, that each and every one here tonight will know the help of the Lord. Some may already be feeling what it's going to be like to say farewell. Lord, just help them tonight in a very special way. We thank thee that many can say, my help is in the Lord's great name. Give help tonight, we pray. Make this a memorable night. Bless the work of God and the Free Church all across the world. We thank thee for our mission board. We thank thee for our Bible college. We thank thee for our presbytery. For so many who have the cause of Christ at heart. And Lord, we pray that that will continue in the years to come. May we never depart from the first principles of preaching Christ crucified. Gracious God, make this a blessed meeting. May thy sweet presence fill this house and touch all of our hearts. We pray these things in the Saviour's wonderful name. Amen. Amen.
We're going to read from God's word as it's found in the Gospel according to Matthew and the 20th chapter. Matthew's Gospel and the 20th chapter, reading from the first verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire labourers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the labourers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his servant, Call the labourers, and give them their hire from the beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine ease and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine an evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious, inspired, and inerrant word.
It's a wonderful thing for a church to send forth a man into any part of the Lord's vineyard, but I think uniquely a church to send a saved man. And there is a difference. There's some people who are not converted and they've never been born again, and they've gone out to mission fields and they've gone into ministry and they've never experienced the grace of God in their lives. And there are churches that are sending forth workers, that's for sure, but they're not saved. They don't know the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing tonight to be able to say, and we have no doubts about this whatsoever, that the mission board are sending forth a saved man, a man who knows the Lord, who loves Christ, been born of God's Spirit and washed in the precious blood. We're going to invite Kyle to come now and share with us how the Lord saved his soul.
Well, I'd like to thank the Reverend Martin for those words of welcome and introduction. Perhaps before I turn to share with you something of what the Lord's done for me, I'd like to take the opportunity just to thank a number of different people. I suppose I can extend, first of all, thank you to yourselves for coming tonight, many visitors here, and I'm thankful for your presence with us. It's good to see you in the Lord's house tonight and to know of your support and even your prayerful support as well in days to come as well, which will be so vital as we look to take up the work in South Australia. So thank you for coming, for sharing with us in the service tonight. I suppose I'd like to thank the congregation here in Lisburn for hosting the event tonight, and even for the supper that's prepared as well, and for having us. And I do thank the congregation here particularly for all of their fellowship and friendship to me and support of me over the many years that I've been connected with the congregation here. I remember when I started coming to the church here, it was into the youth fellowship, and at that stage I definitely wasn't Free Presbyterian in my thinking, but I was starting to come to the youth fellowship, and even there I'm so thankful for those leaders that were involved at that time, for like Maureen Waddell and Noel and Pauline Thompson and Nigel Campbell as well, and I'm probably forgetting some others as well, but I'm thankful for those leaders who were involved at that time and their care that they took over me and the friendship there. I remember whenever I first came into the main service here on a Sunday morning, and I suppose I had started off going to the youth fellowship every other week on the Friday nights, just eventually every week, eventually the odd Sunday evening service. I remember the first time coming in on the Sunday morning, and I came in, I sat around this side of the church, sitting on my own, and Maureen Waddell was just, I think, setting up over here, and maybe had started playing, but she stopped playing. She came across to me and brought me over to sit with her family. And it might have seemed a little thing. It might not have been noticed by very many people, but a little thing like that made all the difference. And there are many, that's just one example, many times over when the people of the congregation here have shown kindness and friendship and fellowship to me, and it has made all the difference. And I suppose a lot of those little things perhaps contribute to part of the reason why I'm standing here as a Free Presbyterian, looking shortly to head out and labour in South Australia. So I'm thankful for the congregation here and for the support that I've received. I'd like to thank the Reverend Martin and the Reverend Douglas for their faithful gospel preaching, for the teaching that I've received here over the years. I'm so thankful for that and for their good and wise advice over that time. I suppose as I thank my own congregation, I could thank on behalf of Epi, the congregation in Monieslayn, for their goodness in that similar vein to her, as she's grown up at least a lot of her younger days in Monieslayn. I could thank the college as well, the staff at the college. I am so thankful for those years that we had at college. We have a good Bible college, a Bible college where we're faithfully taught the Word of God and taught by men who care about us And that makes a big difference. I'm thankful for my time there, for the care and consideration that the men took, and even for the staff there as well, for Mrs. Walkinshaw, who was there in my first year. I appreciated her. She made the place like a home. And for both Mr. Douglas and Mr. Ferguson as well, the principals, I really did enjoy my time. A real blessing to come aside and to spend time learning from these other men, but ultimately from the Lord and from His Word. I do thank particularly as well the congregation in Tandragee. I've had a truly blessed time over this past year and a half learning in Tandragee, and I have enjoyed many of those times sitting around the kitchen table asking all my questions and getting a good number of answers, and maybe not everything, but a good number of answers. I'm thankful for that, and it is a tremendous opportunity, those times when you're able to go into a congregation, because let's face it, I'm only out of college, little experience, I'm learning the ropes, and it's a good thing to be able to sit down with men who have been there a longer time and to learn from their experience, to perhaps learn from some of their mistakes and learn from their good things as well. So I'm thankful for that, and for the way the congregation took to me as well and welcomed me, and for their very generous and kind support to me throughout the time that I've been there. So I do thank the congregation and the Reverend Murray for that time. I can thank the Mission Board as well for the support that they've been to me, even in this most recent time as I've looked to make preparation to go. I suppose as I think of that, I could thank as well our brother Lloyd Glover, the elder that they have in Port Lincoln over in South Australia. I don't know if he's listening in tonight or not. I can't remember if he said in the email whether he was, but he did an awful lot of the work with regard to the visa process, and he's done a lot of work as well in terms of organising what happens once we get to Adelaide and the plane and all sorts. So he's put a lot of work in, and we're very thankful to him for that and for the opportunities I've had to speak with him. And it gives me something of an idea of what we're going to. I've never been to Australia before, but it's not totally into the unknown now that I've had some dealings with him, and I'm thankful for that. I suppose above all those things too, I thank my parents and my family. I'm conscious as we go that it is very difficult on the family to say goodbye to us and to wave us goodbye. I know that with technology and so on, we can get off the plane and go straight to the computer and be talking to family back at home, but it's still a hard thing. And I'm sure you'll understand that, and especially those of you who are grandparents, you'll understand how hard it is to say goodbye to a granddaughter. So I'm thankful for how supportive that they've been throughout this past time. I really do mean that. And I'm thankful too for the upbringing I've had. I have had the real blessing of being taught the gospel from my young days, being taught the word of God, being brought up knowing the way of salvation, that I was born in sin. Yes, born in a family, attending the church and having all these other things, but born in sin, shaping in iniquity. I was taught from my early days. I don't remember a time when I didn't know that I needed to be saved. And so I'm thankful for the teaching that I have received from my family, the upbringing I've had. I take that as a high blessing from the Lord. I take great comfort from the words of Romans 8, and the last few verses of that chapter. The Apostle Paul writes there, Romans 8, verse 38, he says, For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I had the blessing of coming to know this great love of God whenever I was nearly 6 years old. I had certainly been taught before that age the way of salvation, but it was when I was coming up close to the six-year-old mark. I remember being in the back of the caravan, my dad's caravan. He had taken the opportunity at various times to go through daily devotional readings with us in my childhood. And to be honest with you, I don't have much memory of what was spoken on that night, what topic was covered by that devotional. I assume it pointed me to Christ, but I don't know the specifics of it. I don't remember an awful lot of that night, but what I do remember, I suppose, is the curtain being closed at the back of the caravan afterward. That was fine. And then just with my head on my pillow, recognizing that I needed Christ to save me, and praying and asking the Lord to come and to deal mercifully with me. As I think about it, there wasn't a lot to it. It was the simple prayer of a child. It was simple childlike faith. I didn't have a very deep understanding of all the intricacies of theology and so on. But it was all that the Lord required. Christ had done the work. My Saviour had gone to the cross. He had died in the place of a sinner like me. He had shed his blood so that I might be cleansed of all my sin. And the gift of faith was given. Simple childlike faith. I was able to cry unto God and come as a sinner to Christ. And he saved me. No remarkable fireworks, nothing spectacular to be seen outwardly, but the Lord had done the work. And I'm thankful that the Lord has kept me over the time. I can't say that I've always been hot for the Lord. There's been times certainly where my heart has grown cold for a season, but the Lord has kept me. He has kept me for himself. He hasn't allowed me to depart too far, and I'm thankful for his grace in that. The Lord is able to keep us, and what a blessing that we're able to know this love that I read about, that nothing can come between. You think of all the things that were mentioned there, neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, whatever should come our way. The Lord has set his love upon me in Christ. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord, the one who came and bled and died for me. He set his love upon me, and he keeps it there. Amen. He keeps it there. He continues to love. He continues to lead and guide and to direct my steps, and I'm thankful for all of the Lord's grace and goodness. I've already indicated it to you, but I suppose originally I was from a more Presbyterian and Methodist background and became involved in the Free Presbyterian Church through the youth fellowship here. As I've already said, I'm thankful for that and for the Lord's leading. It's funny how the Lord leads you one step at a time. In those early days, I definitely wasn't Free Presbyterian in my thinking. I suppose I thought of those strange people who were far too strict and I just wasn't thinking of as a Free Presbyterian, but over time, they've won me round, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that. I'm thankful for the teaching here, as I've said, and how the Lord has led me step by step. I remember a time when I was part of the youth fellowship there. We would go to the, I think it was the Easter rallies for the youth fellowships to gather together, or summertime, it was somewhere around there, and they would have different individuals would get up and give a report about the different outreaches that they had done the previous summer. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, that's wonderful, but I could never do that. They were talking of how they were going to different areas, maybe in the mainland or somewhere else, maybe going around doors, knocking doors, saying hello to people, witnessing to them on the door, maybe speaking in the open air or doing other things. And I was thinking to myself, well, I could never do that. And yet, I do remember sitting there at some of those meetings and the Lord challenging me about the need to be willing to serve and to go through with God and for God, to be willing to serve. He has saved me, and I'm not saved to just sit down. I'm saved to serve him, to live for Christ. And that's the same for all of us, by the way, who are saved, and not just the ones in the pulpit. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by all that he's done for us, by all the mercy he's shown to us, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I think for a long time in my younger days, I felt almost like I was in a wrestling match with the Lord, if that makes sense to say it. There was a time in my mid-teen years when the Lord was very definitely burdening me, impressing it upon me, the need to be willing to go where he would lead. To serve him in whatever he would have for me. And I suppose in that time I was conscious of the possibility that the Lord would call me to a full-time service like perhaps the pulpit ministry or something of that nature. And I would wrestle with the Lord. I would argue against the Lord. How can I possibly do this? I have no abilities within myself for this. I remember very much being convicted one night as I was reading in Exodus 4 of the Lord's dealings with Moses. You have there in verse 11 and 12, the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I remember being very convicted as I read those words, and around that time, after what seemed like a very long struggle, coming to the Lord in prayer and, well, making a vow before the Lord that if he should ever call me, I would be willing to go. I'd be ready to serve, whatever it would be. As soon as that was made, the Lord gave peace to my soul again. There was the struggle over. Peace was there. The Lord had won. And I was ready to, at that stage, be willing to serve. I suppose that was fine for a few years. But a number of years later, it must have been during around my second year in university. I was there at Queen's studying structural engineering. And the Lord began again at that stage to burden me. And this time, the burden seemed to be coming in terms of the Lord challenging me about full-time service. Would I be willing to go now after that which had happened before those years ago? And again, I suppose, to my shame, the wrestling match was there. Am I willing for this? Am I willing to do this? It's one thing saying, I'll go if you call me, Lord, but whenever the Lord starts to be impressing it upon your heart and you know, this seems to be happening, it's a different thing then. But the Lord was dealing with me. I remember being stopped in my tracks one night reading in Deuteronomy 23. I reached the 21st verse, and those words came, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee. I came to verse 23, struck me like an arrow to the heart, that which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform. And the Lord was using this to direct me into the Bible college, into full-time service. I remember, I suppose it was a long time of weighing up this call from the Lord, and you do want to make sure and test the call of God in many different ways and be sure that you're right, that you're doing the Lord's will. I remember one of those challenges, one of the men in the congregation here, I think it was Noel Thompson, gave me a copy of one of the chapters from, I think it was Spurgeon's lectures to my students when he spoke about the call to the ministry. And I read through a lot of the different marks to look out for as to the Lord calling you to the ministry. And many of them I could look at and I could say, yes, I seem to be seeing this in my life. And here's another thing. Yes, I see that. I came to one and it said that there should be some degree of evidence that your ministry has been a blessing to others. And I was looking at this and thinking, I don't know about that one. I mean, I've had some opportunities in the church here. I'd spoken at the youth fellowship. I'd spoken a couple of times at the Bible class. I don't know about this one. Has it really been a blessing to others? And so I came to the Lord and I prayed about it. Lord, show me whether this is the case. Has my ministry been a blessing to others in any way? Well, the next Sabbath day came, and fairly soon in the morning time, I think it was Herbie McMullen came over to me, one of the men here in Lisburn, and he mentioned to me that my message at the previous Bible class had been a real blessing to him. And I took that as a real encouragement from the Lord. There it was, another little seal set upon us. And so we're thankful to the Lord for his leading, for his guidance. We've gone into the college feeling fully confident this is where the Lord would have us. This is the way he has led us. And when the Lord leads, it's a good way. In terms of our call to Australia, that began around May of last year. I suppose you're coming out of Bible college, coming soon to the end, and you're thinking, where's the Lord going to place me? I hadn't really known. I suppose I hadn't really thought about Australia much previously. Not that I'd ever ruled it out. I was always looking to take the approach where the Lord leads, that's where I'm wanting to go. But I suppose I hadn't really thought about it overly. I had probably assumed that because there's so many vacant churches over this side of the world, both in Ulster and even in the mainland too, that probably it would be somewhere over here. But the Lord began to impress South Australia upon my heart. It began through a phone call. The Reverend Harris gave me a ring one day, I think it was May of last year, mentioned to me the works there and was really asking me would I be willing to go even for a short period of time. He was conscious that Andrew Fitton, one of our licentiates, was coming home in September. He is home now. And so there was going to be a need for those pulpits to be filled. Would I be willing even to go, maybe even from September, for be it a few months or 6 months or whatever I would be willing to offer, and it would help the mission board out as they sought something more permanent. At least that's the way I took the phone call. So we left it there. I said I'd pray about the matter, and we did. We went away and we began to pray. And very quickly, the words of Matthew 28, verse 19 came to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And it came to remind me that Christ is speaking here, and he's speaking about the gospel going forth, the building of his church, and he's speaking of all nations. The, The Lord, our Saviour, has a great desire for a people in all places. Ulster isn't the capital. Ulster isn't the little place that the Lord's caring for and has no thought for anywhere else. It came as a real reminder to me. The Lord has two congregations down there in South Australia. They are the Lord's people, many of them. He cares deeply about them. And the Lord was using this portion particularly to direct my thoughts that way. I'm thankful that it wasn't just myself. I've said to some, I don't think I would be going at all if my wife wasn't happy with this too, and if she didn't feel the same burden in her heart, because, well, the Lord has brought us together as husband and wife, and that is a very important duty too. But I'm thankful that the Lord has put that burden upon her as well. And I came into her family devotional time. We were reading in Esther those well-known words we came to: who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I think both of us felt those words speak to our hearts. The Lord had opened the door of service here for us, and he was putting the task there and saying, go and do this thing. And so I'm encouraged that she shares in the burden as well as me. We've been encouraged with even circumstances too. The Lord has provided for us, even with regard to the visa process. We were expecting maybe it would take something like 9 months. It's actually taken about half that time. And so the Lord has really undertaken and opened the door for us to go. There are going to be difficulties as we go. We will miss loved ones who are at home, but we're convinced this is the way the Lord would have us to go. This is his way, and it is a good way. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us in a good way. His way is good and right. It's the way to be. And we're excited. We are excited about the prospect of labouring there in South Australia. We're thankful for the privilege of serving the Lord. And what a privilege it is. The Lord could have done his work in many different ways. He could have sent the angels to declare his gospel. He could have caused the rocks to cry out. But he's given us the privilege of labouring for him, of serving him, of being used in his work, of gaining crowns in service to the Lord. What a blessing to serve the Saviour. He's done so much for us. Died, shed his blood, cleansed from sin, raised from the dead, reigning in heaven. And by his might and his power, he sends us forward saying, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do pray for us as we go. Pray for us. We need your prayers. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, encouraging the believers there to pray. He said, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he adds, and for me. Oh, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I would make that my request to you as well. Pray for me. Labour with me in your prayers as we go, that I might be able to open my mouth boldly, and that we might be able to do a work that will bring glory to the name of Christ. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I would like this evening just to pass on a few simple words on behalf of the Mission Board. First of all, I'd like to welcome each and every one of you along to the service tonight. It is a great blessing this bank holiday weekend to see so many gathered in to this Monday evening service, and we welcome you all in the Lord's great and precious name. It's lovely to see so many of our colleagues too from Presbytery, and we trust that together we'll know the Lord's help, and so many also of the students from our Bible College. I'd like to thank the congregation here in Lisburn this evening for hosting this special service. We always receive a very warm worded welcome here in this congregation, and God has used it in a wonderful way over the years. And even when we think of the link with the works in South Australia through the ministry of our brother Dr. Douglas all those many years ago, it's very appropriate and providential that we're here this evening at this special meeting. Enjoyed listening to our brother Kyle relate to you something of the leading and the guidance of God in his heart and in his life. And we just see a great mark of the leading of God and the providential guidance of God within his life. And we do rejoice in that. And we give God all the glory and all the praise. And on behalf of the Mission Board, I would like this evening to wish Kyle and Epi God's richest blessing as they venture out in this part of their ministry for the Lord. Kyle, we do believe that you are God's man and that you have God's call within your heart and life. Reference already has been made this evening to the contribution that you've already made to the home ministry. And we know that your service for God has already touched hearts and has been a blessing to many lives. And we know as you go forward to the mission field that you'll carry that blessing with you. And Epi, we do appreciate too your heart of service for the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ in being prepared to go with your husband to the other side of the world in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know too that your little baby daughter, Abia, of course, she's too young to understand what is going on. But I know she'll enjoy growing up in the warmth and in the space of South Australia, still in the safe care and love and protection of her parents. I had the privilege just a few years ago of visiting in South Australia, and it was a wonderful opportunity for me to visit God's work in that part of the vineyard. And I found all of the people there to be so warm and welcoming and hospitable. These are dear brethren and sisters in Christ, isolated by distance, and yet they have a tremendous vision for their own great nation and continent and the desire to see God work locally and nationally right across Australia. And it is, I think, an indication of what God has in store for the church ahead in Australia, that he's provided over the recent years all a new supply of ministers for the pulpits in that part of the land, and there is renewed interest in other parts in Australia, and we just look to the Lord to what God is going to do out there. And as you go out to shepherd the flock, we trust that you'll know from day one an ever deepening sense of that call of God in your life and his abiding peace in your life, and that you will know the Lord uniting you in spirit and in purpose with the people of God there in South Australia. The reference has been made to both families, and I would like to commend both families to the Lord who have given of their loved ones to the service of King Jesus. And we know that the Lord will not forget your sacrifice either, and he'll recompense your loss. And he'll watch over you while separated physically one from the other by all of those miles. My own Bible reading this morning took me to the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 15 to 22. We find here some wonderful instruction that was given to the children of Israel as they moved the camp in the wilderness. They were without sat-nav, they were without radar. They had only to depend upon the Lord to show them the way that lay ahead. And as they journeyed, they were guided by that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. And of course, that's a wonderful symbol of the presence of God with his people. By day and by night, he's ever with us. And wherever they were journeying, the Lord's presence was with his people. God would make them to know the next step of the journey. They didn't know what the next step of the journey would be, but God would lead them and God would guide them and he would direct them on that part of the journey. But as they did journey that day, not knowing what the next day would bring, they were reassured as they looked to that pillar of cloud that the Lord was ever with them. And we know, Kyle and Epi, that the Lord will be with you. And as you journey out to Australia this week, he'll not only go before you, but his presence will be made known with you. There's a lovely promise that God gave to Moses, and he fulfilled it right throughout all those years of wilderness wanderings. In Exodus chapter 33:14, he told Moses when he was full of doubts and apprehension, he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And throughout all those intervening years until Moses came to the end of his journey, visibly, every day, he had the fulfillment of that promise to him as he looked to the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And the Lord's presence never departed from him. And I know likewise, you'll be able to testify as you leave here on Wednesday of the presence of God with you, day by day, not only in the journey out to Australia, but in your ministry and in your service for the Lord in that part of the vineyard. Reference has been made to our brother Lloyd Glover. I pay high tribute to him and all of the help he has been in piecing together all of this. It all has come into place in record time. We've been amazed at that. And we've taken that too as a further token of good from the Lord. And of course, our brother Lloyd is the clerk of session in the churches there in Lough and in Port Lincoln. And on behalf of the congregation, he sends this little note to Kyle, to Epi, and to Abiah. In your preparation to leave and to part to Australia this week, may the Lord give you peace and encourage your hearts as you step forth in faith, knowing that he will be with you and family and friends are supporting you in prayer. This sending forth service tonight is a special occasion, a culmination thus far for many things the Lord has guided you in, and as you now look to begin your ministry in South Australia. May the evening be marked with his presence and a happy contentment in your souls. We await your arrival in prayerful anticipation, that you will have divine protection as you journey, wisdom in your needs, and assurance in your calling. We look forward to your arrival into Port Lincoln on Friday afternoon, the 6th of May, 2016, and will welcome you with friendship and love. May the Lord be with you and settle you to a fruitful ministry here in the Eyre Peninsula in South Australia. With kindest regards, the members and friends of Port Lincoln and Lough Free Presbyterian Churches. And the scripture at the bottom is Psalm 23:13-14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would just like to add to the apologies that the Reverend Martin relayed earlier on. Our brother, the Reverend David Park, the Secretary of our Mission Board, Chairman of our Missionary Council, is unable to be with us this evening due to circumstances beyond his control, but he wanted to send his best wishes to the gathering this evening. And likewise, our brother, the Reverend David Stewart, past colleague with our brother Kyle, and he is engaged in another meeting and sends his apologies, but also his best wishes and his prayerful remembrance. Kyle, on behalf of the Mission Board, I would like to present you with a little gift. Thank you all very much.
Just before we come to the offering hymn, I'd just like to give our brother Kyle another gift if you want to come forward. We didn't give you a Bible because we suspect you have one. But just as a token of our appreciation, Kyle, our love and our esteem both for you and your family, we would just like to give you this little gift on behalf of our Kirk Session Committee and congregation in Lisburn, trusting you'll go forward with the Lord's blessing upon you.
Thank you very much, Kyle. God bless you.
Let's turn in our order of service, please, to the second hymn. The stewards will wait upon you for your offering. And we trust that you will give as the Lord has prospered you. Just remain seated, please, for the first part of this hymn, and the stewards will wait upon you for your offering.
Thank you.
out a few verses, the final verse, please. Glad to have the moderator with us of our presbytery, the Reverend Thomas Murray from our Cumber congregation. He's a very busy man in the local fellowship and also throughout our denomination, and we are thankful he's able to make it this evening. We trust as he comes now to minister to us that you'll pray for him and that the word of the Lord will be a blessing to you. Thank you.
Could we turn this evening to the portion of God's Word which was read a little earlier in the service? While you're finding the place, could I just mention, the psalmist reminds us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I know that our presbytery was delighted to hear of the Lord's leadings in our brother's life. South Australia has a much warmer climate than we have. It certainly wouldn't be hard to be warmer than it is out there tonight. But while it may have a warmer climate in that sense, it is spiritually a very cold place. And it's one thing to know the leading of the Lord. It's another being willing to walk in that way. And we rejoice in our brother's willingness to leave family, to leave home, to leave colleagues, and to go so far to preach the word of God. And I know as a presbytery, we have no fears in sending a licentiate so far away, because our brother has proved himself to be a very capable, worthy, and faithful servant of God. And we trust that you will take our brother, his wife, and child upon your heart and the congregation there in Port Lincoln as well, and that you will daily lift them up before the throne of grace in prayer. Before we turn to God's word, let's just bow together in a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us this evening as well. We thank thee for thy hand upon our brother's life and for the gifts that thou hast given to him. We thank thee tonight also for thy precious word. And we ask, Lord, now that as we turn to thy word, that thou wouldst open up the sacred page before us. We long, Lord, this evening to hear thy voice. We pray that thou wouldst challenge us and that even also encourage us, that we each of us might be willing to do thy will in our lives and to serve thee with our very best. To that end, Lord, I ask thee for help. I pray, Lord, for that anointing that cometh from thee alone. Give us power. Give us words from thyself. And so, Lord, I cry to thee, be with us now. Carry away every distracting thought. May we be taken up with thee and with thy word, for we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 20, I want to draw your attention to the parable that is recorded there. But perhaps we could read the verse 1, Matthew 20. We're told, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, that is, an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." In the previous chapter, we find a rich ruler coming before the Lord, seeking that which money could not buy. He asked how he might gain eternal life. Beholding in his heart the love of riches, the Lord told him to go and to sell all that he had and to give it to the poor. And hearing these words, Peter, remembering how he and the other disciples had given up their fishing boats, their nets, and their homes in order to follow the Lord, he rudely interrupted the Savior, desiring to know what would be their reward. The Lord told him of a householder who had a great vineyard. seeking to gather in the harvest. He, with the rising of the sun, made his way to the marketplace, hiring a number of servants, he putting them to work. He then returned again to the marketplace in the third hour, hiring even more servants. He returned yet again at the sixth hour, and then the ninth hour, and finally at the 11th hour. And we discover that with the passing of time, the need for servants, rather than decreasing, it actually increased. Even right up to the 11th hour of the day, there was still need for laborers, need for those to go into the vineyard and to work and to seek to gather in the crop. And you see, the need for servants, rather than decreasing, is increasing. The Lord Jesus is still looking for laborers to go out into the spiritual harvest field. Indeed, despite sending forth his disciples, the Lord lamented in Luke chapter 10 and the verse 2, "The harvest truly is great, the laborers are few." And despite sending forth the 70 disciples, there was still need for more laborers. And while the harvest is still plentiful, there is still need for more laborers. The Lord is still looking for men and women and young people to go out into his field and to seek to labor for him. I'm told that only about 33% of the world's population today is described as being Christian. And of course, when they use the term Christian there, they are attaching it to many who don't even deserve that title. In fact, they tell us that only 5% of that 33% are evangelical. In Northern Ireland today, less than 50% of the population attend the church on the Sabbath day. In fact, many of them attend only on the very, very occasionally. If you think that is bad, that 50% number drops to 18% in Australia. And why are we gathered here tonight? It's because our brother has seen the need. The need to go into the harvest field and to labor and to work for the Savior. And I wonder tonight, as we gather in this place, I wonder, do you see the need this evening? Are you willing tonight to go into the harvest field, to labor for the Lord, to seek to win the lost, to seek to bring them to the Savior? It may be that the Lord will not want you to go to Australia. It may be that He will not want you to go to Africa. But He may want you to go to your office or want you to go down to the shop floor. And I wonder, child of God, are you willing to go? You see, the need for laborers is growing. The fields are white. The hearts of men are empty. And there's a need for laborers. And I wonder tonight, are you willing to go? And so I want simply tonight to draw your attention to this parable. I want you to notice firstly concerning the householder, the workers he employed. In every town there was what was known as the agora, or the marketplace. And seeking laborers to gather in the harvest, this householder passing or pushing through those who were seeking employment. You notice here that the people he recruited, the hours slipping away, we read in the verse 6. "And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle?" In the playground, you often find children picking teams to play football or to play hockey. The best or the most talented are usually chosen first, and the worst are left to the last. And as such, this householder going out the second time, the best workers would have already been gone. Returning again at noon, the mediocre workers would have gone. Returning again at 5 in the afternoon, all that would have been left would have been those that no one else wanted. They would have been the least talented in the labor market. To put it frankly, they were the least of the least and the last of the last. And yet, rather than passing by these individuals, We find him here hiring them and pushing them into the harvest field. You see, what society puts out, the Savior takes in. What this world rejects, the Lord recruits. Indeed, seeking a new king to rule over the nation of Israel. We find Samuel coming into the town of Bethlehem, entering into the home of Jesse. He looking into the face of Eliab and seeing his height and seeing his strength and hearing the accounts of his bravery and hearing of his character. He no doubt thought in that moment that this is our new king. However, the Lord whispering in his ear, no. He going down the line one after another. We read in 1 Samuel 16 in the verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. So young, so weak, so gentle was David that Jesse did not even bother putting him into the lineup. And yet he was the one that God took up and that God used. You see, what the world writes off, God picks up. He chooses men not because of what they are, but because of what he can make them into. You know, the famous artist Gainsborough, desiring to learn music, he brought a great variety of musical instruments, bringing them into his home. He would attempt to play each and every one of them. On one particular occasion, he happened to hear a great violinist play. He was so taken with the music that he went to the man and he bargained with the man and he purchased the violin. However, when he brought it home, he realized that the charm and the beauty of the music lay not so much in the violin as in the touch of the master's hand. And you see, our effectiveness in the service of God lies not in our intellect. It lies not in our skills, not in our abilities, but in the touch of the master's hand. Gladys Allwood was only a kitchen maid. She was so untalented, so uneducated, that no missionary society wanted to send her to the mission field. However, placing herself in the hands of God, she making her own way to China, God used her in a wonderful and mighty way. And don't let the devil tell you tonight that you can do nothing for God. You may be the least of the least. You may not have the talents of those sitting beside you or those sitting in front of you. But I want to tell you, child of God, tonight, if only you take what you have and you place it into the hand of God, God can take you and God can use you mightily. And could I say to our brother tonight, there will be those times, I have no doubt, because I've been there many, many times. There'll be those times when you come into the pulpit on the Sunday morning and you'll feel so weak, you'll feel so inadequate that you'll really not want to go any farther. But in that time, remember this, that God takes the weak. God takes the foolish. And God can use them mightily. My, these were the least of the least, and yet he still took them. And you may not be talented here tonight, but listen, all God wants is you. And if only you give him your heart, he can take and he use you. Not only the persons he recruited, but notice the perseverance he required. The sun beginning to set, we read in verse 8. And so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto a steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Not all of these laborers had begun working at the same time. Some had commenced at dawn, and others at noon, and others at 5 in the evening. And while some of them had been working from early in the morning and through the heat of the midday sun, They were not permitted to quit early. You see, why starting at different times? They all finished in the evening. Why they continued until the day was gone. And you see, while our service may commence at different stages in life, it concludes at the same stage in life. We are to be serving not only my in life, but while there is life. Indeed, the Lord, speaking of those whom he had planted into his house, he said in Psalm 92 in the verse 14, "They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." And though they were gray-headed and they were old, they were still to be bringing forth fruit unto the Lord. And you see, in the life of grace, there is neither rest nor retirement. Labor ought not stop until life itself stops. George Whitefield, the great evangelist, relating the difficulties of the gospel ministry, he said to some of his friends that he was glad that his work was coming to an end. All of them agreeing except a Mr. Tennant. Whitefield turned and he asked him, "Why don't you agree with me?" And he said, "I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can and as well as I can and serve my Savior as faithfully as I can until he thinks it's time to call me home." You see, it doesn't matter when we start service. Whether we started serving the Lord in our teens or in our 20s or in our 30s or in our 40s, we're still to be serving the Lord. Maybe you say to me tonight, "But I can't do the things that I used to do." And that's right. Most of us have to admit we can't do the things that we used to do. But listen, my friend, there's still service that you can do for the Lord. Our brother leaves this land to go to South Australia. And my friend, it's not the least. It's the most you can do is to pray for him. And you can lift him up before the throne of God. Yes. And you can pray for him, his wife, and child every single day. You see, your service is not over. You're still to be serving the Lord. Not only the perseverance he required, but I think also we notice here the pressure he revealed. Despite hiring servants at 6 in the morning, we read in the verse 6, "And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle?" The grape harvest finished towards the end of September. Close on its heels came the rains. And if the grapes were not gathered in before the rain, they would be ruined. And you see, the reason the householder here saw so many laborers and went out again and again and again to the marketplace was not only because of the size of the harvest, but he knew that time was short. You see, time never takes time off. And as such, there's an urgency in the gathering in of the harvest. None was more conscious of that than the Lord Jesus. And in John chapter 9, in the verse 4, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." You see, the hour is coming when it will be too late. Too late to preach. Too late to pray. Too late to plead with that individual concerning their soul. Why is it that the bee works so hard in the summer? It is because it knows the cool is coming. And by the day cooling down, it will no longer be able to work. And spiritually, it is getting cooler every day. And my friend, this time is coming when it will be too late. Too late to witness. Too late to go to that land. Too late to speak to that individual. And you know, we must never lose sight of the urgency. There's an urgency in this work. Oh, tonight, are you ready to go? Are you ready to serve the Lord with all of your heart, recognizing that time is short, that tomorrow may be too late? But not only do we notice here the workers he employed, but I want you to notice the wrath he encountered, giving to those who had labored all day one penny. They became angry and bitter, and they began to complain. Indeed, the householder accused them in verse 15 of having an evil eye and rebuking them here. Notice that these individuals, they were looking for the wrong prize, queuing up to get paid. We read in the verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Having worked 11 times longer than those who had worked for 1 hour, they had expected to receive 11 times more. However, while their homes were dashed, they were not treated unjustly. Because in verse 2, we discover there that they received that for which they had agreed to work for. You see, unlike these first laborers, those who were recruited later entered into no such agreement. They were just glad to enter into the field and to be able to work. And working for work's sake, they accordingly received a far greater reward. You see, it's foolish to try and to bargain with God. Rather than serving God for what we can get, we ought to serve Him for what we can give. In the Old Testament, we read there of Jacob. His name means twister or deceiver. You find him constantly bargaining with God. On one occasion, he said, Lord, if you bless me, I'll tithe. I'll do this and I'll do that. However, finally, recognizing that all his bargaining brought him nothing but trouble, he finally yielded himself into the hands of God. And we read in Genesis 32, in the verse 28, the Lord said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And ceasing his bargaining with God, and surrendering, he became a prince. You see, when you try to bargain with God, you only cheat yourself. Instead of laboring for wages, we ought to labor for love. I'm sure you've often heard the phrase, a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. And some try to transfer that same my principle into the spiritual realm. And they say, Lord, if I do this, if I do that, if I do the other thing, then will you do this and you do that? My friend, God operates a different type of economics. When you try to bargain with God, then like these men, you will lose out. Don't say what's in it for him. Just as our brother is going to South Australia, not for personal gain, but to give his time, to give his talents, to give his ministry. Let that be your motivation. Not for what you can get. Not hoping that you'll get some blessing, but that you'll labor out of love. Labor for service. You see, they were looking for the wrong prize. More than that, they were looking to the wrong people. Look at verse 12, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. Making their defense, they knew exactly the time that these other laborers had entered into the vineyard. standing behind them. I can see them there looking over their shoulders, watching to see what they received. You see, instead of keeping their eyes upon the householder, they set their eyes upon the other laborers, and seeing their labors and seeing their rewards, they became bitter and began to complain. And you know, rather than keeping your eye upon the saints, keep your eye upon the Savior. To fail to do so will lead to bitterness rather than blessing. Paul, lifting up his pen and writing unto the Hebrew converts, he said in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Peter, in a moment, forgetting that and taking his eyes of the Lord and getting his eyes upon the waves, he began to sink. You see, rather than being a Christian watcher, be a Christ watcher. Keep your eyes upon Him. When you begin to compare yourself with other Christians, you'll begin to covet. And when you begin to covet, you will then begin to complain. Someone has rightly said, look to yourself and be depressed. Look at others and be distressed. Look to Jesus and be blessed. And could I say to our brother tonight, as you go out into the work, my, keep your eyes upon the Lord. Don't get distracted. Don't look at others. Don't see what's happening with them. Keep your eye upon the Lord. Keep your eye upon Him. I think they were also looking with a wrong purpose, because in verse 11 we read, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Why did they begin to murmur and complain? It was because they thought that they deserved greater credit and they deserved a greater reward. And surely the whole lesson of the parable is that we're not as important as we think we are. God uses servants, but He's not dependent upon them. Oh, believer, in this work, we need to keep our eyes upon the Lord. We need to labor for labor's sake. Labor for love. Recognizing that we are but servants. But lastly, I want you to notice not only the workers He employed and the wrath He encountered, but I want you to notice the wealth He endowed. Although last to be rewarded, yet notice here the sureness of their reward in verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. The reference there is to the denarius, and as well as keeping His promise to those who were hired at 6 o'clock in the morning, He also gave to those who labored only for 1 hour. And despite the shortness of their service, they still were rewarded. And you see, the service of Christ is not a burden. It's a blessing. It brings a reward. Frank Houston, taking up his pen, he wrote, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. Though the pathway to glory may sometimes be drear, you'll be happy each step of the way. And I tell you, when you serve the Lord, you're not forgotten. There are many blessings, many rewards. Oh, the way is difficult at times, but the rewards are even greater. Not only the sureness of the reward, look at the season of the reward, verse 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto a steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Although some of these men had been laboring for 11 long hours, they still did not get paid until the evening. Payment was deferred until the end of the day. And while Christ pays good wages, He does not pay until the end of the day. It's not until we leave this world that we enter into our reward. What would you think if you were an employer, an employee came to you every 15 minutes and saying, well, I want my pay now. Pay me for that 15 minutes. And then my 15 minutes later comes again and says, pay me now for that 15 minutes. I think you would soon get rid of them. You would chase them down the road. And believer, we ought not to look for our reward here. Yes, there'll be many blessings, many encouragements. But we ought not to look for our reward here. Our reward is coming. Coming in that great day. And then I think there was the size of the reward, because we're told in verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. The first man hired received a penny. Don't think they were hard done by. My penny in those days was a good day's wage for a good day's work. And as such, those who were hired at the 11th hour, receiving a penny, they received much, much more than they could have ever imagined. You see, the Lord pays wages that are not only eternal, but that are exceeding. My, they are much, much more than we could ever imagine or deserve. My, we serve a great Savior. We serve a generous Savior. And in that day, we will enter into our reward. You know, by the age of 21, Bill Borden was worth about $1 million. In today's terms, that is about $50 million. He gave all his fortune away. He gave half of it to the work of God in America. And he gave the other half to missionary work overseas. He then left his home and he went to reach the Muslim community. He went to Egypt first to learn Arabic. He then traveled to China. And as he traveled to China, he died of meningitis. To the public and to the media, it looked like the waste of a life. And the waste of a fortune. But my friend, it was not a waste, because he was laying up his treasures in heaven. And I wonder tonight, where are you laying up your treasures? The hour is late. The day is getting dark. But there's still a need for laborers. And our brother is willing to leave his home and leave his country and to go to the other side of the world. And I wonder tonight, are you willing? Are you willing to serve the Lord? He's a place for you, a place for me. Have you found out what that place is? And if you have, are you willing to go? There is no service like the service of Christ. And I trust that you'll enter into that service. And the end of life's journey, we will receive that crown, that reward. May God help us to labor for Him. Amen.
We'd like to thank our moderator for that timely and challenging word, and I trust that those of us who are saved will hear the voice of the Master saying, go work today in my vineyard. Returning to the final hymn on the order of service, if we would sing the first two verses, please, and remain standing. The first two verses of this hymn, just remain standing, and then would all members of our presbytery, our ministers and elders, please make your way to the front of the church, and we'll be laying hands on our brother, Mr. Graham, and we will officially send him forth on behalf of our entire church. So we'll sing the first two verses, and then we're going to remain standing, and then we'll sing the final verse, and after that the Reverend Paul Foster from Tyndale Memorial Free Presbyterian Church will come and pronounce the benediction and also give thanks for the supper. And could I say that there's supper for every single person gathered in this meeting house tonight. On either side of the pulpit you'll find the double doors. Make your way in. The tables are spread. You take your seat. Could I say that there are some tables at the back of the Douglas Suite that are reserved for the family. You'll see the little reserve sign on that, so we trust you'll not take those seats, but you'll make your way to all the other seats and let the family get in. And could we ask our own people, in case a bigger number than anticipated stay, if our own people could just wait behind slightly and allow the visitors in first. Now, we're not telling you you can have your supper, you can, but we do want to be hospitable and kind to our visitors and allow them to get their seat first, and then we will mix in among them. But if we need to, we will squeeze as many in as possible. So keep in mind, please, the hymn, the verses 1 and 2, and then all members during the singing of these two verses of our presbytery, make your way, please, to the front of the church.
By so doing, we're not ordaining him, we're simply tonight setting him apart for the work there in South Australia, asking for God's blessing upon him and upon his family and his ministry there in the days that lie ahead. So we'll ask the elders and ministers here maybe just to come on in. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the occasion that finds us here this evening and for our brother before us. We thank Thee, O God, that before the foundations of the world were set, that Thou didst set Thy love upon him. Amen. We thank You, Lord, for that convicting work of the Spirit of God in time when his heart was opened, and we rejoice that he cried unto Thee for salvation. And we thank Thee that in that moment the burden of his sin rolled away and he became a new creature in Christ. We thank You, Lord, this evening that Thou art the Good Shepherd, not only the one who lays down his life for his sheep, but the one who goes before them and who leads them. And we thank Thee, O God, for Thy leadings in our brother's life. We thank Thee for bringing him into the college, for the gifts and talents that You did give to him. We thank Thee for even in these recent times for guiding him afresh and for laying the burden of the work of South Australia upon his heart. And Lord, we ask that even as he would soon leave these shores, that Thou wouldst bless him richly. Fill him with Thy Holy Spirit, we ask of Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst give to him great wisdom. We ask, Lord, even as he mixes in that congregation and in that wider community, that You'll give him favor with the people. We ask, Lord, that even in the early days of his ministry, that that area will know that there's a man of God standing in that pulpit. And we pray, Lord, that every week that new people will gather in to hear the Word of God, and that Thou wouldst open their hearts, and that Thou wouldst draw them savingly unto Thyself. We pray, Lord, even as he studies, that Thou wouldst be with him, and that thou wouldst give him help, and that you would just undertake for him. We remember his wife and little daughter. We realize, Lord, it's a big thing, leaving family and heading away. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with them. We thank thee that thou hast said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst pour in grace and that thou wouldst help them to settle in that new community. Be with them. We realize, Lord, it's difficult also for the families that are left behind. And we know that there'll be an emptiness in their hearts and a sorrow as well. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be with them and that you would undertake for them. Lord, we recognize this evening that a solemn responsibility lies not only upon our brother's shoulders, but a solemn responsibility lies upon each of our shoulders. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us to pray for our brother. Lord, that every day that thou wouldst burden our hearts, that we would lift up our souls and cry unto thee for him and for that work. So we commit him now to thee. And Lord, the final arrangements, be with them. Work everything out. May even the last few days be smooth days for him and his family and the wider family circle as well. Lord, answer this our prayer, for we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Could I wish you God's richest blessing and assure you of our prayers in the days that lie ahead.
Thank you very much.
As they're shaking hands and finding their seat, we'll sing the final verse of that hymn, the verse 4, please.
He comes with
you all to supper. Could the platform party please come to the front of the church for a photograph? We invite the Reverend Paul Foster to come and close in prayer.
Let each of us pray. Our Lord and our Father in heaven, I want to thank thee for thy blessing to each and every one of us this evening. Father, thy presence is here. And Father, I thank thee for thy word that has gone forth. Father, I thank that thou art showing much grace and mercy and calling laborers into thy vineyard. Father, I thank thee for the privilege that there is to serve thee. Father, I want to thank thee for thy grace in Kyle's life. Lord, for setting him apart, for calling him to thyself first and foremost, and then commissioning him and sending him out even to serve thee. And Father, I do pray for thy blessing to be upon him. Father, I do thank thee for the works in Australia. Lord, for the work in Lock and for the work in Port Lincoln. I thank thee for every one of thy people there. And Lord, I ask thee that you be pleased to unite Kyle, Epi, and Abiah even with thy people there. Lord, may there be a great friendship. And Father, may together they serve thee, the one who is worthy of all our praise, of all of our life. Lord, I pray, use them for thy glory. Lord, just be with them, we pray. Give them safety as they travel. And Father, may you undertake. I thank that Christ is the great shepherd who will never leave them and he will never forsake them. Just ever help each of thy children to keep their eyes upon thy beloved Son. And seeing him, Father, he will always be to them all that they need. So, Father, be with us the rest of this evening. Bless the food that you have provided for us. Lord, bless our time of fellowship as well. May it be sweet and may it be for thy glory. And, Father, I just pray that the grace of thy beloved Son, Father, that thy love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us now and forevermore. Amen.